I'm your old Jimmy Church. It's now Sunday morning here in Southern California. It's open lines for the rest of the night, and I do want to talk with all of you. So come and join us right here. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, I guess I never get tired of hearing that. Open lines all night long. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Let's get to it. We've got two segments left tonight. And my favorite thing, and I'm not kidding about this, I talk about it all the time. My favorite thing is open lines, whether it's here on Coast or over at Fade to Black. Nothing like speaking with all of you. So I'm going to get straight to it. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla. I haven't talked to Thomas in a while. Thomas, welcome back.
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you for taking my call. And, about 4 hours ago, I spoke to a friend who just moved to Portland, Oregon.
Right.
And I told her, I said, I think there's a ranch. My internet connection is down, but I told her, I said, I think there's a ranch near Mount Adams. And I was describing, some of the experiences that you had had.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my friend Kathy, I said, listen to the show tonight. I'll ask Jimmy, and perhaps he could give maybe a thumbnail sketch of how to get to this ranch near Mount Adams and what type of experiences she could expect in terms of having there.
Well, Thomas, Yosemite Ranch is truly one of the most magical locations here in the United States, if not the world. So that, but that goes without saying. If you go back to last Saturday when I was here on the show, Peter Maxwell Slattery was one of my guests, and so was Laura Cantu. And we just all had a week or two up at Yosemite. That being said, if you go back to last week's show, there were a bunch of videos that were posted there, and I'm sure that they're still accessible on the show page. Now, those videos by Peter Maxwell Slattery are all posted up at the Yosemite YouTube page. The thing is, about those videos, they were shot the week before. They were all shot between August 7th and August 14th. They shoot stuff up at Yosemite Ranch all the time. The videos are there, but and constantly updated. But my most recent experiences up there with Billy Carson and Laura Cantu and others were just shot this past August 7th through the 14th. So and there's a great documentary that is out now from our week up there that Peter Slattery directed. So you can point all of that to your friend and have her go and check that out, because it's way too much to put into words, Thomas. It would take up hours and hours of broadcast time. And I do it. I talk about Yosemite Ranch all the time. And it doesn't matter what your choice of research or knowledge or what you're on a quest for, you can pretty much go to Yosemite and find it, whether it's Bigfoot or interdimensional things or portals or orbs or, of course, ET and craft and sightings. Everything goes on up at Yosemite. It is so much fun. It's like an e-ticket back in the days when you went to Disneyland. You remember the e-tickets?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's what you get, except it's called an e-SETI ticket. It's the same thing.
Oh, boy.
Thomas, thank you so much for the phone call. Good to hear from you again.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Thomas. Always great to hear from Thomas. I'm going to go in order here. I'm going to go to Mark in Jackson, Mississippi. Mark, you're up next on Coast.
Yes, Jimmy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
Well, that's good. I would like to tell you this UFO story that happened to me back in 1979.
What happened, Mark?
It really scared me. My daddy fought on the front line of World War II in Korea and Iwo Jima and Guadalcanal. And I've heard a lot of horror stories from about the wars, the three wars he fought in, or the two. But anyway, I'll try to keep it in a synopsized capsule form.
Okay.
Yes. we were on a highway, me and my brother-in-law, after being on a hunting trip, and we were coming out of Butler, Alabama to Meridian, Mississippi, and we had got about, I'd say about 20 minutes into the trip. Well, I noticed up in the air there was this blue and green and a blue light up in the air, and this was back 1979 when Smokey and the Bandit and CBs and all this stuff was still popular.
Right.
Well, I told my brother-in-law, I told him, I said, Elvin, you better watch out. I think you might have a bear in the air, and if you remember Smokey and the Bandit.
I do remember the bear in the air. Yep.
Yes. But anyway, the thing went up and down four or five times in the air over about a 5 or 6 minute period, and it finally drifted from the right to our left and went over the other side of the road. And you know these radio towers you see around towns that have white and red lights blinking on them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, this object stopped right. It took my eyes time to focus because it was probably about a mile off the road, and this was at night. And the only way you could see this tower, it didn't have a red or white light on it. There wasn't any kind of light on it. The only way you could see the tower was from the brightness of the object, and I would guesstimate it was probably sitting about 50 feet from that tower.
How big was the object, Mark?
I really don't know. I really don't know because it was at night. But the point, I'll try to keep this short. But right when I thought to myself, well, that helicopter, a bear in the air, why would it be stationary right by a tower with no light on it? Well, right when I thought that, an amber bright laser beam came out of the object and shot the top of the tower, and sparks and like lava colored amber sparks flew off the top of the tower. Well, that's not the end of it. That right there, I started telling my brother-in-law, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? And I knew couldn't see it because he was driving. He had to keep his eyes on the road.
Right.
Well, the object started coming back toward, from, like I say, it moved from right to left. Well, it started moving back from the other side of the road, from left to right. Well, it got about, I would say, about 250 feet to 300 feet right above us. And I leaned, he had a Vega car, the old Vega. I forgot who made them.
Chevy.
But he didn't have a sunroof in his car. And I leaned up to look up through the top of the windshield, and I noticed that the object was about 200 to 300 feet above us. Well, all of a sudden, this is when my brother-in-law got scared. The car started vibrating like the whales were going to bust out of the car. And, you know, Jimmy, I haven't told probably 15 or 18 people that story since 1989. But it was a very frightening experience, I guarantee you that. And I appreciate you. I appreciate Coast to Coast. Y'all have a great show. And I thank you for letting me voice my story.
Thank you so much, Mark. What a great experience. Amber laser shot up the radio tower and amber molten lava. Wow, that's a great experience. And that happened in 1979 on the way from Alabama to Meridian, Mississippi. Let's go to Wild Card. Michael, Jamestown, North Carolina. Michael, you're up next on Coast.
Oh, hey, great. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Michael. How are you?
That's good. I was at the stage show in Asheville last week, and I just wanted to talk about that place. I know, unfortunately, you weren't able to make it there, but we would have loved to have seen you there.
Huh, somebody's got to hold down the fort, Michael, and that was me.
Yeah, but I loved it. I mean, it was great. You know, that George was there, Tommy was there, and we had four great guests. I tell you, that Joshua P. Warren, he is a comedian. He's a hoot.
Yeah, he's the real deal, too.
Yeah, and he was talking about, like, he's discussed this before when he's been on the show, about some kind of a, like, 30-degree parallel line that runs from that whole western North Carolina, Asheville area, and it goes kind of like to, like, the Bermuda Triangle and everything, which explains why that's such a hotbed for, like, paranormal activity and stuff.
Sure. Sure, I agree with that. There's, well, the thing is, everybody talks about the ships and the disappearance and the planes and so forth, but the concentration is quite incredible, you know, and I don't know if it was something that crashed. You know, if there's something magnetic, if there's some kind of vortex, something that is causing these waves that are, I don't know what it is, but there is something going on there in the Bermuda Triangle. I don't think there's any question about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, and then Vincent Jenna, well, he was really good too at the show, you know, the psychic. So mm-hmm. I had a great time, yeah.
Absolutely. Did Micah's guitar stay in tune?
Yeah, I think he did a pretty good job. I mean, I saw him up on stage playing, you know, with the band, and George, of course, sang a few songs. But I think they held down the fort pretty good. So.
Yeah. Mike is great. I'm just giving him a hard time. I hope he's listening right now. Plus, he dresses really dapper.
Oh, I did notice that. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Michael, thank you for the phone call. Apparently, everybody had a great time there in Asheville. I was talking to George about the show earlier today. George and I talked this afternoon, and it seems like everybody had a great time.
Oh, yeah, it was a blast. And Asheville is a really cool city. I mean, that place was hopping on a Saturday night. You would have thought you were in Vegas. So, yeah, it was a hoot. It really was, yeah.
Well, I'll try to talk George into letting me do the next one. I want to go out there and have fun, too, with everybody else. Oh, I think we lost Michael. Okay, let's go to, who's up next? Do we have time for, I do? Okay, Nathan says yes. Let's go to Kurt in Cypress, California. Kurt, you're up next.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Kurt. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, I talked to you a few months back. I was the one that brought up about that offshore, that underground passageway that went up to Walker Lake.
Okay, yes.
And you said, yeah, it's kind of interesting you hadn't thought about it in a long time. Anyway, get to the story, and I gotta say, I was a little disappointed you didn't recognize the sweet voice of Smokey Robinson in just my imagination.
Of course I recognize the sweet voice of Smokey Robinson.
Temptations, though. These are the miracles, remember? Smokey Robinson, the miracles.
Right. But anyway, that was the Temps. But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
The miracles. Smokey Robinson, the miracles. Yeah. Anyway. Get to the story. Yeah, this is something that happened back in 1972. Just graduated from high school. And me and a couple of friends had heard about this festival in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. So it was up in the National Park, I guess. So we thought it was going to be like a music festival or something. You know, it wasn't that long after Woodstock, 72. So we hitchhiked back there. None of us had cars that were that good to get there and back. So we got up there, and I think the second night, there's a guy, turned out this thing called the Rainbow Family put this thing on. I don't know if you've heard of them, some kind of hippie group. You there?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. So anyway.
You're talking about the Rainbow Festival?
Yeah, I guess that's what it was.
Oh, this is a unique experience. Okay, continue, Kurt.
So after dinner, I think the second night, was like, you know, right around 4th of July, too, some guy walking around with his hand full of these orange pills, and you probably know what those were at that time, you know, the orange psychedelic.
Flintstone vitamins.
Yeah, so we each took one of those vitamins, and we'd put our stuff behind this fallen tree, this basic log, and I will remember this because it was right next to the blue tent. So naturally, later on, after it got dark and color started changing, we had a little difficulty. We were looking for the stuff, and we ended up getting separated. I'm walking through this meadow, and I ended up going up knee-deep in this little creek. And it's getting cold, you know, even in July and Rocky Mountains at that altitude. So we finally re-engaged. I sat down. I was kind of getting kind of rattled. I sat down and talked. Was with hanging out with these people, and they were passing around the peace pipe, and they started singing this song, Happiness Goes in a Circular Motion. You know, Donovan did that song, I think. So my friend walked by. I caught up with him because we'd been separated. Then we found our other friend. So we're looking for our stuff, Finally, I'm getting kind of tired. I sat down on this log. I just kind of leaned back, put my hand back, and I felt something. I look, and lo and behold, it was our stuff that we couldn't find for hours, and just kind of sat down there just to rest and happened upon it.
So what happened next? We've got about 1 minute.
So after that, I think it was pretty much time to, like, turn in and heard people, like, howling all night. They didn't have good sleeping bags. We had nice warm down bags, so we were in good shape. But, yeah, the rest of the thing, we heard something about some white buffalo that was supposed to show up, the legend of the white buffalo. And I guess these people were into that thing and were doing, like, had these piece of cactus they were eating at night, you know, to kind of have some kind of visions.
Yeah, that stuff goes down. There. Well, what about, have you been to Burning Man?
No, never made it up to that. Not really a big fan of dusty desert areas. I mean, I like the desert, but, you know.
Well, I don't think it's about the desert. I think it's about the experience. There's no doubt about it. And I was watching, when I think about things like this, and, of course, the Rainbow Festival and other festivals like this, I was watching some videos over the weekend of Burning Man, which is going on right now, by the way.
Yeah, I heard some about people getting, there was some deal about people, they were saying they were getting profiled and getting hassled by the...
Well, I don't know about that, but what I was looking at were some of the vehicles that are used there, and it's just absolutely fascinating because during the day, they look one way because it's daylight out. But then they're transformed at night with LEDs and neon lights because you need to be able to see yourself out in this, you know, the city that is built in the middle of the desert. It's absolutely incredible. Anyway, I was the huge collection of vehicles and how they're customized and the rules behind it. I've got to make it to Burning Man. Nathan, you been to Burning Man? Donna, have you been to Burning Man? Oh, Donna has been. Donna just said she goes every year, but you didn't go this year. Oh, she had to work this weekend here at the studio. I've got to make it to Burning Man, and I will. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jeremy Church. More of your phone calls are next. Stay with us. If you enjoy what I do here on Coast to Coast, you've got to check out my show. It's called Fade to Black. Fade to Black, we run from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time live. And that is Monday through Thursday. And we do it right before Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. And we do that for good reason. We do it, one, so I can host both shows. Two, so you can get 7 hours of paranormal conspiracy talk every single night of the week. You listen to me for 3 hours, go straight into George for 4 hours, and it makes for a fantastic evening. Makes for a great week, and we run Monday through Thursday so I can come in here on Friday nights when George needs me to step in. It's a perfect way to spend your week. So all you have to do is click on my name right there in the description of tonight's show, Jimmy Church. That'll take you straight to my website, jimmychurchradio.com. All the information, upcoming guests, the week, everything is there. You can also follow me on Twitter, at J Church Radio. I'm a very big social media guy. I hang out every single day, and everything is there. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your phone calls are next. Welcome back to Coast AM. This is my favorite thing. Right now, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'm going to go straight back to the phones. Let's get them all in before the end of the show tonight. Let's go to Wild Card. Margaret in Tacoma, Washington. Margaret.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Margaret. How are you?
I'm just dandy, and I'm oh so glad that you're hosting tonight.
Why is that?
I follow you on Twitter.
Oh, you do? You follow me on Twitter?
Yeah.
Am I nice?
You're cool, dude.
Thank you, Margaret. So, okay. Insert joke here, but I'm just going to let it go. What's on your mind tonight, Margaret?
Well, I'll make it quick. I have a friend who lives in the San Luis Valley of Colorado.
Right, the hot spot.
To the sand dunes.
Right.
And she's been going out at night lately and seeing these two strange blue lights hovering in the sky, fairly high in the air. And someone said that they might have been airplanes or a helicopter, and she said, no, they don't move. They're just hanging up there in the sky. And I was wondering if anybody else in that area might have seen that.
Well, that's, you know, I'm glad that you bring it up, because somebody's going to tweet something. Somebody's going to mention something. There are out there in that area of the San Luis Valley, and I've got a lot of friends out there. There are a lot of UFO researchers, and there's a lot of cameras. There's a lot of video. There's, you know, things that are being spotted every single day out there. But these two blue lights that seem to hang by themselves, that yeah. I find interesting. So
now, I heard that there were some UFO spotting towers.
That's right.
Out by the dunes.
That's what I'm saying. You know, there's a lot of research that goes out there on out there every single day. And it's funny that you do bring this up, and it almost sounds like some kind of paid advertising, but it's not. I was, you know, I was contacted by a really good friend of ours, Christopher O'Brien, speaking about this. And so I may have him on Coast to Coast and Fade to Black here in the very near future, and we will discuss some of his scientific work that's going on out there right now. Very strange that you bring that up, because he actually called me this morning.
Wow. No coincidences. I don't believe in coincidences.
No, unless Chris called you and said you call into the show tonight and talk to Jimmy. But I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm kidding, Margaret. No. But back to this. I've got to get to the rest of these phone calls. But
sure.
I think it's very interesting that these two lights are blue. They're hanging in the sky. They're not really moving around. And there's got to be somebody out there that is photographing this and is videotaping and commenting on it. So I would like to hear from anybody that has seen these two blue lights out in the San Luis Valley. Thank you so much, Margaret.
If anybody would know about it, it would be Coast to Coast listeners.
That's right. No, this is where it all starts and ends, right? Right here on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you, Margaret. Have a great night.
You're welcome. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for the phone call. You can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. And if you have seen anything in the San Luis Valley there in Colorado, let me know on Twitter, okay? And I will pass the information on. There's something going on. It's one of the, UFO highway, right? So there you go. Let's stay on this. Up next, let's go west. David in Sonora, California. David, you're up next on Coast.
Okay.
Yes, David.
Mr. Church, hey, I listen to you and George every night. And last night was a great one on Bigfoot. By that, matter of fact, I live 15 miles from Twainart. Tons of Bigfoot sightings up there. But my story retains back to 1968 when I lived in the town Fryant, about 20 miles north of Fresno on the San Joaquin River, right at Lake Millerton and Fryant Dam. And we always go out in our back porch that we lived right on the river there.
Right.
And you always hear all the crickets. You're always hearing beavers slapping their tails. Well, this one night, we heard nothing. You know, my mother says, that is awful, weird. We don't hear anything. And sure enough, we look up, and what looked like a star, about the size of a star in the distance, and it kind of was going across the sky, and it stopped. And it was kind of like quivering between two stars. Well, we saw this for two nights. And we actually got up the second night early to watch the sun go down and see if it was still there. Sure enough, it was there. Well, the third night, it was gone. Now, this is 1968. I'm 13 years old. About 3 days later, we're up at Millerton Park right in Fryant. John says, look up. And we looked. And I'm not exaggerating. I remember like it was yesterday. It looked about 150, 200-foot long cigar. Just cruising, maybe 3-4 miles an hour, no noise, nothing. I don't really remember too much on lights, but it was a cigar. You could see it in the silhouette, and then it went over Fryant Dam, and then it was gone. In the middle of Fryant, Lake Millerton's at least 400 or 500 feet, because the town of Millerton was down there, and maybe they've got a base down there. But what happened was that next night, you could hear all the crickets again. You could hear all the beavers slapping in the river, and that's what they do at night. I don't know why, but they got a habit of it. So, and I had to just tell you that story. I remember, and your stories going on right now are fantastic. Just keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, David, and have a great weekend.
Appreciate it.
Enjoy the rest of your Labor Day, man. Thank you so much.
God bless.
You too. What, you know what's interesting about the cigar-shaped UFO? I've never seen one. I've never seen a cigar shape. Seen everything else, every shape, size, never a cigar shape. I can't wait for my first cigar-shaped UFO. I know it sounds crazy, but before I get back to the phone calls, one of the sightings that I talked about up at East City was my daytime sighting. It was around 4 p.m., and I think it was August 10th, and on Friday. And this was, of all things, it was shaped like a beer can. I don't have any other way to describe it, but it was probably 200 feet tall and was spinning and moving from left to right, from west to east. Incredible. But you know what I haven't seen? A cigar shape. I can't even imagine what a cigar shape. It just doesn't compute with me. I know that must be like a tube, you know, something long, thin, and round. And, you know, I don't know. I've never seen a cigar-shaped UFO. Let's go to Wildcard Simon in St. Louis. Simon, which St. Louis are you in?
The only one in the country, Jimmy.
Which one is that?
The one right along Mississippi in Missouri.
See, so St. Louis, Missouri?
Yes, sir.
See, that's what I'm talking about. How are you, Simon?
I am very well. I want to make the people of this country aware of an operation that's going on for the better of mankind. The government's been working with extraterrestrials very closely. There's several underground bases linked up all across the country, and as a matter of fact, all across the world. Now, there is a what you call a universal conglomerate of, I wouldn't call them judges, but people who are more elevated in the conscience to where they're wanting more in the area of peace. They want to bring together the nations, and they want peace, and they realize there's a lot of turmoil here on Earth. And it wasn't surprising to me that they were working with extraterrestrials, because some of these extraterrestrials are very advanced, they're very conscious, and they're aware that, you know, us humans don't realize the harm we're causing ourselves and, you know, the Earth, for that matter.
What do you think is going on, though?
Well, I know that for some time, even before the 70s, that they've been working with extraterrestrials, trying to bring the consciousness level of humans to a certain level on a universal plane, to where people are more conscious of their actions. They're more, I wouldn't say just not kind, but understanding of others.
But why make that a secret project?
Because there are entities that are evil, and they're trying to, you know, essentially take over certain areas, and they're warring over different lands, things like that. People want to protect their interests, you know.
Well, I'm with you on that, Simon, but to me, this is my take, and I agree with you that there's something going on. And I know that a lot of that, but why, if that is the case, it's one thing to keep the good messages secret, but if there's bad stuff going on, keep that public. I mean, that's the one that we really need to know about.
Of course. And for whatever reason, you know, the media has control over what we put out, and you know, as well as I do, there's a lot of fake news out there. And sometimes, you know, creating news like that could cause a panic, and we don't want mass hysteria, you know, because if people knew that the government was working with extraterrestrials and they were, you know, essentially trying to, you know, better the environment for us, you know, and clean up the disease and the sickness and the health of, you know, various species of humans and extraterrestrials, you know, that could hurt the pharmaceutical companies pretty intensely. So they want to keep their secrets pretty much, you know, underground.
Well, there you go. And Simon, see, thank you for the phone call. But just a couple of comments on this. And I know that sometimes this seems very simple, but it's really the fact of the matter. Keeping stuff secret because, and I'm talking about from the government's point of view, the military's point of view, or the CIA or an agency's point of view, from us, because we can't handle it, or for whatever the reasons are, you want to keep it secret because of other world governments. All of us, everybody has, it can safely assume and is okay with knowing that we've had ET contact and our government is making contact. They've been making contact. So what? We've expected that. And we know that that is what is going on. And we're okay with it. It has to be going on. The opposite of that is no contact. I don't think we accept that. And I don't think anybody believes that today. So there you go. Nathan says keep going. Wild card, Donna in Benson, North Carolina. Donna, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, George. Look, I called you one night. You had your friend Shock on, and he's an expert on Egypt and the pyramids, right?
Right. Did you call me Church?
Uh-huh.
You did. Or did you call me George? I'm just wondering if...
I called you Church.
You did. You called me Church. Nathan said you called me George. See, now that's I'm up to 7, 8, 9. That's 10 strikes against Nathan tonight. And he's not doing so good, is he?
Who?
Nathan, my engineer.
I hope he is.
Okay.
I hope he is.
All right, well, Donna. Okay, so... I had Shock on the show.
Yeah. And I called him and I asked him that I had read about the great philosopher Plato had gone inside the secret chamber inside the Great Pyramid.
Right.
And he stayed 3 days where he symbolically died, was reborn with all this enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes out after 3 days, he writes his greatest works. And I asked Dr. Shock, was that true? And that's when you broke in and you said, I got this, Donna. And you told the audience that Dr. Shock himself had done that.
Mm-hmm.
And that you had asked him, you know, what happened? And he would never tell you.
That's right.
Anything about what happened. And I was just curious, Church, if you had a chance to do that, to go in that secret chamber, would you do that?
Well, you know, the answer is, I don't know if you know this, Donna, but when Plato did it after 3 days, he came out, he regrew his teeth. He had a fresh set of choppers, nice white, pearly whites. So I would do it just for the teeth. See, Donna, you need to come and see my stand-up routine over here at Sir Laughs-A-Lot in Burbank. It's a great comedy club. Well, see, the reason why I would do it, Robert has told me, you know, on the air, but also off of the air, that the experience was so profound. And for somebody of his stature, of his knowledge, of his intellect, when he looks you dead in the eye and tells you that it was profound, it takes a big moment, a very huge experience for somebody that has already experienced everything that life has to offer, right? So you have to take that for what it's worth. And I've got to say, I would do it.
Let me ask you just one thing. Did he ever tell you what he thinks zapped him? I mean, was it?
No. And look, Robert and I are pretty good friends, and we respect each other. And I have pushed him on this issue now for 5 years, and I have gotten nowhere. So I don't think he's going to talk today, tomorrow, or the next day. And I think it's personal. And I've had my own experiences too, Donna. That. They're just going to remain personal, and I understand that now. I'll tease Dr. Shock about it today, but I don't want to hear the answer, you know. And I don't think you do either. I don't even think you would.
I'm not going to, church.
Yeah.
I'm not like you, Dobag. I'm not going to go shut myself up in some kind of chamber
right.
in that ancient triangle for 3 days because I don't know what's in there.
Yeah, I know. I know. And that's part of the mystery, Donna. So, listen, Donna, enjoy the rest of your Labor Day weekend for me, will you?
So good, eh? Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. That's a great phone call right there. Anybody that can call me up and call me church three times in 90 seconds is all right by me. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody. Coast to coast and coming in here is a privilege. And for me to be able to come in with a guest like Donnie Arcade on this wonderful Saturday and hang out with all of you and then able to take the time to do some phone calls and open lines to wrap up my weekend. And now I'm going to go and enjoy my time with my family and my friends. It is Labor Day weekend, and this has been Coast to Coast AM. I got to thank Nathan. He's up to 10 strikes. Donna, Greg, Sean, Lex, Chris, George, Tommy, Lisa, and Stephanie. And, of course, my beautiful wife, Rita. Until next time, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Go Beckley Tappy.